And mahalo for listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, also now K284AL Haleiwa. Proud to have Oahu on the air with us as KKCR becomes more and more broadcast all around the island chain, and we stand together in so many issues. Today's a great day. Jonathan Jay is going to be in here helping me. And I want to say that Kauai Soapbox Live is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Rico Business Solutions. I can't even quite read what it is, but we're going to hear what it is. So, mahalo.
Flyer, sales, lease, and service of all Rico black and white and color copiers, fax systems, printers, and wide format engineering copiers. Rico Document Solutions help optimize how businesses manage digital and paper-based information. Proudly serving Kauai for over 26 years, Rico Business Solutions, 246-9531.
Announcing the Garden Island Range and Food Festival, November 17th, 11 to 2, at the Kilohana Luau. Proudly bringing together the Kauai community with cattlemen, farmers, and chefs to taste healthy, local, nutritious foods and meals. Come to the festival and be a locavore. More information and tickets online at kauaifoodfestival.com. The Mailie Foundation presents a Hawaiian Holiday Craft Fair Saturday, November 30th from 9 to 5 at the Kauai Beach Resort, Kauai. Celebrating the year of Ola Pono Hawaii, Hawaiian health, the fair includes a wreath decorating contest, mini health fair, cookie decorating demonstration, live entertainment, 15 local crafters, and more, supporting Hawaiian cultural programs of the Mailie Foundation. More information from Maka at 651-1868 or email kmfkauai@hawaii.rr.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
So mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, and it is community radio, and I think I did a little goof because that craft fair that just was announced, well, it sounds like it already happened. So I hope that that was a lot of fun, and we're always happy to be putting out and promoting people's different events. Jonathan Jay is in the house.
Hey, Felicia, how are you today?
Really good, and so that was you and Mayor Bernard Cavallo singing Heleon to Kauai. That was a show that you did earlier.
Yeah, it didn't sound half bad.
I am so surprised and impressed that you can keep up with him on singing. I know that you sang, I think, even a Joy to the World before, a Three Dog Night song.
Yeah, that's true. All joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, joy to you and me.
Right on. Well, what an exciting week we've had, and an exciting day, and even an exciting month for activism and community voices coming out. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of those things that are happening, but I have to just say yay, 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 yeah. Do you know about this one? You probably do.
Yeah,
Hawaii
know.
Bill, you heard about that? Yeah.
That
Bill?
133 or 113?
113. That is a GMO prohibition bill.
Right. No more new GMOs on the island.
That's right. So it allows the one farmer who chooses to grow GMO corn for his own animals.
He's grandfathered in.
He's grandfathered in, and the papaya farmers are grandfathered in. But it sounds like they're going to really just stop and take a break and do studies and elements of that before they would decide to bring that in. It's a no for now.
So a timeout.
It's a timeout. And that was kind of what really we had asked for originally with Bill 2491, was like allowing what's here, asking for a timeout on, you know, further expansion of these fields, not just the genetically modified fields, but also ones that are using heavy restricted use pesticides. So we're going to be talking about quite a bit of those things. Gary Hooser, who is credited as the main author of the bill, 2491, Tim Bynum, also a sponsor of that bill, and in truth, it is the people's bill, because those guys helped heavily. Nadine and Joanne did.
Yeah, they certainly added their more than 2 cents to it.
They added their more than 2 cents to it that made it, kind of separated it out from being a GMO bill, but just being a pesticide right-to-know bill. though they did strengthen that element. We're going to be talking about that in this show. Gary Hooser will be calling in the second hour. In the first hour, we might get a call in from Hawaii Island, from Kona. Kauai did have some representation over there. At a minimum, I'm afraid I'm leaving people out, Fern Rosensteel and Dustin Barca, I know, went over there. Nomi Carmona, who's been, who's from Oahu.
One of the babes against biotech.
One of the babes against biotech was there. Jennifer Ruggles, who's been over here helping. This has really been an island chain effort. You know, Molokai, Maui, Hawaii, Kauai, and Oahu all working together to try and contain this industry that never really asked, hey, can we spray all these poisons? So we're starting to contain them a little bit. So
well, you know what they say. The islands united can never be defeated.
Did they say that?
I've heard it said.
Okay.
In fact, I just said it.
Okay, you just said it. So there it was. It was said. So we're gonna work on making that more and more true. And so those are exciting big things. We will probably be hearing from them. Just kind of giving the listener a laundry list of elements that will come up today, and there might be more. I have in front of me this resolution. Sorry to have that crackling paper sound.
No, that's cool. It sounds real, because it is.
It's real. I'm looking at the County Council, County of Kauai, resolution to implement an environmental and public health impact study, also known as EFIS. People will be saying the EFIS, and people, I don't know what they're talking about, but that's the Environmental and Public Health Impact Study, which is effectively, a little bit more focused than an environmental impact statement. There's some variations on it, but there's this that's going to be happening. It's also forming a pesticide and genetic engineering joint fact-finding group. So there will be scientists on either side of it, different lawyers, different people looking how that they can handle it. And I think that what ended up being a persuasive element in Hawaii's success today, the island of Hawaii's success in stopping any expansion of the genetic modified organism biotech industry over there, is just seeing how hard 5,000 to 10,000 people have to beg and crawl. When I say 10,000 people have not taken to the streets. 5,000 people probably collectively, but for every one that does come out, there's probably at least 5 that don't, especially when these events happen on Saturday and all the organic farmers are out there at the farmers markets, and a lot of people in the community that is pushing against that are the underpaid community, so they have to stay at work. So we have to struggle so hard to ask for something so simple as just revealing and disclosing that element. I want to say hi to Eric, who is in here too. Eric, are you mic'd up okay?
I think I am.
There he is. Okay, so we got him in here too.
A couple minutes late, just jumped out of the water at Queen's Bath, found some awesome shells. It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. So that's one more thing. Then another element that I really want to bring up. I get all these Board of Water Supply letters. I wish I was directly on their mailing list. I have Akamai listeners who call these things to my attention, and it's like a baton being passed. And what has been called the horizontal drill, well, they've come up with a new name.
So what are they calling it now?
The new name for the horizontal water drill is called, are you ready? It's a long one. Kahili High Level Well Energy Savings Project. So I will say that again. Kahili High Level Well Energy Savings Project, that is the horizontal drill. So that feasibility study is going to be on the November 21st water Board of Water meeting. And maybe that's December, though. I got to look. These are they're a little bit difficult to look at. But yeah, that would be December 16th. It's Monday. And they have another meeting at 10 a.m. Actually, it's tough to tell. Like, it gets confusing. There's pretty hard to look at these things. There's a water meeting this Thursday at 10 a.m. So I might have to miss Poi again and go to that one. But so we'll talk about things like that, because that falls in the figure to me of uninformed consent. So I've got like 5 water department letters in front of me with these different meetings and these benefits, and they're a little tough to tell where they're at. I also, Jonathan, brought you in specifically today because of the KIUC petition drive that was successful.
That was successful, yes.
Do you want to tell us for a moment what that was and what that means?
Sure. Well, it all started with the smart meters a year and a half, 2 years ago. The KIUC board decided that they wanted to bring in smart meters for everybody, but they never asked the island, so they never really said, hey, this is what we think is a good idea. Do you guys agree with this? They never really asked anybody. They just did it. And then they just started installing them all over the whole island. And some people were like, hey, wait a minute. That's not okay with me. I don't want one of those smart meters. And KIC basically at first said, well, that's too bad. But eventually the pushback was so strong that they had to come up with an opt-out policy. And so about 3,000 people opted out of getting smart meters. And that's about 10% of the island population. And KIC went along with that. But it seems like the reason they agreed with that is because they're like, okay, fine. You can opt out, but it's going to cost you. And so they came up with this new fee of $10.27, which they said was to pay for the meter reader to come out and read the meter. But we've been paying for the meter reader all along with our existing bills, so it doesn't make any sense that you have to pay the meter reader twice to read your bill.
Well, I'm going to argue that for a moment.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that you have to pay that much, but like the meter readers, like if they had a team of meter readers that went out, I think there, correct me if I'm wrong, there's 30,000 meters about, roughly?
Roughly, yeah.
So if they had a team of 4 people, I think it was 4?
5.
5. If they had a team of 5 people go out and read 30,000 meters, and that was their full-time job, but then it gets cut back to just reading 10% of it, but that's staggered around the island.
Right.
Those meter readers were reapplied into different jobs. They didn't lose their job. They just lost that particular skill. So they're still going out. But what to me is a big piece that doesn't go into there is that these new meters all cost money. They cost quite a bit of money.
Yeah, $11.9 million.
So the people who don't have a new meter
should have a rebate.
They should have a rebate. So to me, I think we'll call it fair, and you just don't charge them.
Yeah, seems reasonable. Plus, if you offer people the freedom of choice to, if you begrudgingly concede, okay, folks, you can have whatever kind of meter you want. All it mainly has to do is accurately say how much electricity you use. That's what KIC needs in order to have their business model function. Okay, fine. All the analog meters do that perfectly well. I've been doing it for decades and will continue to do that for decades. So, but if you don't have freedom of choice, if one of the choices costs money and the other one else's are free, so that's what we signed the petition about recently.
Well, I think
it's about the charges.
About the charges, and then you succeeded at getting the Public Utilities Commission. Is that who gave the approval?
No,
Who does it go to?
No, it's all inside the KIUC cooperative bylaws. Because KIUC is a cooperative. We have special rights as member owners.
Why did I write a letter to the PUC?
Well, because the PUC was the one who gave them permission to do the fees. But the thing is, KIUC is involved right now in an internal decision-making process. The board made what they thought was the final determination, and that turns out not to be the case because we have a petition, and the petition challenges the board action. And so now that the place where that decision will be made has been taken away from the board, and it's given to all the members across Kauai. So 30,000 households now will make a determination about whether it's a fair fee or not.
And then I feel like it's important to say that when 10% of the users opted out, there was a lot that weren't able to opt out that wanted to opt out. Like if you're a tenant,
mm-hmm.
or I've had story after story about people who tried, and there was a lot of resistance in allowing them to do that.
Yeah, KAAC really dragged their feet about that one, for sure. And they were extremely reluctant to go along with it.
I want to have Pat Geegan, probably, or somebody from KIUC on soon. I know you had Jim Kelly on, right? There's a number of KIUC issues that are there, and people might go, okay, well, we got so many issues to think about. Why are we spending all this energy, no pun intended, every pun intended, on our energy cooperative?
Well, one of the reasons it's about KIUC, why we're spending our energy there, is because it's a place where we can effectively spend our energy. KIUC is a cooperative, which means that every single person whose name is on the bill is a member owner of that utility. It's not privately held. It's not for profit. It's publicly held by our community. It's a community asset. And so that means that what we have here is a laboratory for democracy. And people, if they want to get involved in what happens at KIUC, you don't have to write a letter to try and persuade them of anything. You just get 250 signatures, and then that's an automatic function. And that's your right that's guaranteed to you under the bylaws. And it's a way for members to be involved in the decision-making process of the co-op, which is exactly how co-ops are supposed to work. So we're practicing our rights that are guaranteed to us by bylaw.
And we are, you know, slowly waking up across this planet and seemingly quickly waking up on Kauai. And there are many issues, whether it is how our lands are being managed with pesticides, how our water, surface water, is being redirected, drying up rivers, you know, or creating problems downstream from where it used to flow, how our water is going to be tapped out. That's the challenge with the horizontal drill, is it breaks through what's called dikes, or these...
Yeah, the lens, the water lens.
The water lens and these vertical rock layers, so it can dry up streams along the way. So we really need to engage. I call it crowdsourcing information. So your energy is also so very vital in how we live our lives day to day in the modern world with electricity. Whether you pay an electric bill or not, you're still going through the stoplight. You're still walking into any place that has lights.
Sure, you still go to the library and you want the lights to be on there. You still have your elected representatives. You want their phones to ring when you call them. You want them to get their email. You still go to the grocery market and buy food. And believe me, you're paying for their electricity to keep your ice cream frozen and your meats cold and all that stuff.
So with electric, water, and land, those are really, really key areas. And last year when we had the Public Land Development Corporation, when it was just literally trying to take control of the land away from us, we're coming into the legislative season. We have all these big elements coming up, and that reminds me of elections. So I'm not trying to push you on air to say that you will run again, but the KIUC, the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative Board of Directors, is coming back up again. Every year there's an election for three of them. Whose seats are up?
Phil Takbian, Peter Yukimura, and David Iha.
Not sure if I know David Iha very well. Where is he from?
I think they're all born and raised here on Kauai.
But what side of the island does he live on?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. So you have run before.
I did. I ran last year for the first time, and I did pretty well. I got almost 2,500 votes, which is pretty cool, I thought, since I've only lived on the island for 10 years or so, and I didn't go to high school here, so I don't have all my friends that I can network with. So I think that people must have resonated with my message, which is more democracy, lower rates, and keeping the money on the island.
Well, I think also I have to say, for somebody who's not on the board of directors, you're my go-to guy about what's going on at KIUC. Like, if I'm kind of really wanting to hear something, I'm going to hear it from you. It's going to come out from you faster than I'm going to get it from just about any other source.
Well, I do try and stay abreast of what's going on there. And, you know, the reason why I do that is because not everybody can go to all those meetings. Not everybody can pay attention to that. They've got busy lives that they're trying to live and raise money to feed their families and, you know, go do the things. And life is busy. Life is very busy. So we don't all have time to do all this stuff. And so I think it makes sense for, you know, if you do have a passion or an interest in something, you make it a priority, and then you share what you find out.
Yeah. We just had a caller, and he was asking if we could answer his question. His question is, how does Kauai Agriculture and all the corporations here get first dibs on our water? It's a good question. I know Felicia didn't hear that one. But anyways, I'm guessing it's probably because it's a corporation and they're paying the most money into the local economy. But that is just my guess.
I don't think that they are paying that much money. I think they have vested rights.
Yeah.
As agriculture. Agriculture is one of the top priorities to get water. But Felicia, you know, I would defer to you in this because you're paying more attention to the water issues than I am. I've got my focus is elsewhere.
So why does the Kauai agriculture companies have first dibs on the water rights?
Well, with the Agribusiness Development Corporation, like on the west side, those were claimed in that time period. And I'm stalling for a moment. It's like a Kekaha Ag Association. I think it was mostly the biotech companies. On the west side, they're doing that. Now, like they're right now, the surface water and Anahola is coming up for consideration. People show up and they talk about it. And the thing is that it kind of goes to the biggest bidder. And so they'll have clients who are asking for that money. So DHHL can go into a contract with them.
And that's the Department of Hawaiian
Homelands. And then there's the Department of Water. And I do invite an Akamai listener to be paying attention because I am basically a citizen, a public affairs programmer who goes to these different meetings, who tries really hard to follow it all. And I don't fully understand every element of it. A lot of it, that's what I'm talking about, informed consent. They might tell us the meeting's at 10 in the morning and it's at 10 in the morning, and if you make it there, you get it and you hear it, and if you don't, then you just don't know, and these decisions kind of happen quietly. And I think that anywhere from the power company to the water department, they almost would prefer to not hear everybody's mana'o.
Oh, no, they for sure would not want to do that, because when you go into a meeting and you ask questions and you raise issues, you're taking up their time. And if you weren't there, they could get through their meetings a lot more quickly. So when people go into the meetings, you kind of slow them down. Plus also, a lot of the issues are complicated. And so it takes a while to understand what's going on. And so I was at a KIUC meeting last month, and a woman came in. She's very upset about smart meters, but she didn't understand how the meeting worked, you know, just the mechanics of how it worked and stuff. So she was very upset, and it was quite a scene. Yeah, she was a little bit disruptive. I don't think she was trying to be, but she just felt like they were trying to screw her, and she was getting angry about that.
Right. So a lot of times they'll just block it. And very often it seems when I go to the meetings that the meeting is almost a formality, that the decision has already been made.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if there's Section 106 for the Hawaiians saying, hey, this is our homelands, we thought we were going to get houses here, I don't quite get why this is going to be just something done for the broad general public without doing housing for, you know, Hawaiians.
Right. And that's an issue now with the large solar project that KIAC wants to put up in Anahola on Hawaiian homeland. So I don't think that's completely worked its way through the process yet, and I know that some people are kind of upset about it.
I know I did have a caller just be on the air and then go off on that was holding for a moment, who was giving an explanation of David Iha, and I was trying to hear it, but I couldn't do two things at once. David Iha is local person who, anyway, I missed it. Sorry, caller who was waiting. And
please call back.
Please call back. Who let go of that?
In the meantime, we had another caller, and they are talking about the water rights. And he was saying he was listening to another one of our shows here on KKCR, and that a Hawaiian caller called in and said that the water rights on the west side are owned by the United Bank of Switzerland. And that they were bought up.
Well, I heard that, but as far as I know, those FERC permits, the Federal Energy
Regulatory Commission,
sells FERC permits, and that was bought up by some individuals who are at the very top of the pile of United Bank of Switzerland. And so mm-hmm. those FERC permits, so the water rights for hydroelectric power.
Right, for KIUC.
It's for KIUC. And it's owned by UBS Personality.
I think that they sort of claim jumped, UBS did, and then turned around and sold them to KIUC.
Well,
and
what was very interesting there is that they were selling energy futures, which are derivatives. And so there was about 100 rural communities in America. So they go out, they buy up these FERC permits, and they start selling derivatives, which is kind of an investment on an investment, and saying, hey, it's a speculative thing. Do you want to be a part of rural America's hydro future? And so by buying those FERC permits, then fortunately for them, they found a reason to run into KIUC folks on the golf course.
Yeah, that's the story then, I heard, too. I guess a lot of business takes place on the golf course. Do you play golf, Felicia?
No, I don't.
Maybe you should think about taking it up.
Yeah.
I wish I could have played golf, but sadly, I'm the younger brother. My dad only taught the older one.
Yeah. So like, different things happen. Sometimes things are manipulative, and the person being manipulated doesn't know. I really question why a leader of UBS should be buying, or United Bank of Switzerland should be buying the FERC permit for an island in the middle of the Pacific, you know.
Right.
So there is a challenge with that. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. But Jonathan Jay is my guest. Eric Cannon, Felicia, we're in the house here on Kauai Soapbox Live discussing elements of informed consent. And we'll kind of bounce around a little bit, and we'll come back to this electric issue, which I know is very important. And then I want to also be doing justice to the many other issues that are out there. Last week, we had somebody calling in from the Philippines. Just hearing the intense tragedy.
Yeah, I caught some of that show.
Intense tragedy, and I don't know if
it's hard to imagine the scale of just the catastrophe there.
And when they were speaking of that, like, he said that the estimate might really be something like 300,000 to 600,000 lives lost, in that when they see big cities that are just completely washed off their foundation and they're only looking at it from the sky and just seeing areas that are completely gone.
Yeah, that's just staggering.
So they are just having to do a rough estimate. I haven't heard those horrible numbers coming out, but what I did want to make a comment on, we brought it up last time, the Philippine representative to the UN climate change talks. His name is, I'm probably butchering it, so I'm sorry, Nedarev Sanyo. He has gone on hunger strike, you know, because he was seeing how this is, you know, profoundly an example of, you know, climate change is what he was feeling was happening with this.
Sure, climate chaos.
Climate chaos. And so his government, you know, is not going to be a part of the failed Kyoto Protocol and is not acknowledging climate change. Too many countries in the world aren't, you know, working hard enough on, you know, creating that change. So, like, to me, that's an example of a very big issue that I want to at least give a little word to. Do we have somebody on the line?
He wants to announce a film showing this weekend.
Okay, somebody's going to announce a film showing this weekend, and this is Kauai Community Radio.
The award-winning filmmaker Josh DeSole, who produced and directed the documentary Take Back Your Power, is going to be showing this weekend, with Josh coming over to lead a discussion group, answer questions, Saturday, November 23rd, that's this Saturday, 6 p.m. movie, 7:40 talk at the Aston Aloha Beach Hotel, that's there in Kapa'a by the Wailua River, and then on Sunday, November 24th, 6 p.m. we'll show the movie, 7:40 p.m. is the talk at Kahili Mountain Park. That's the Seventh Day Adventist School. It's 2.5 miles west from the Tunnel of Trees intersection, right on the highway, and you can look for balloons.
Now, I've seen this film, and this film has a lot to do with the smart meters and the effect of electromagnetic field radiation and the health aspects of the smart meters.
As well as privacy.
Privacy is a big one. Privacy, health, the increasing cost of the smart grid, the grid vulnerability, house fires, electrical surges. And if you've already seen it, you're welcome to join us for the discussion. That's why I gave two times. 7:40 p.m. starts the discussion if you don't need to see the movie again.
So if people live on the south or the west side, coming to the Kahili Mountain Park event on Sunday might be better.
That's right.
And
yep.
Then Saturday, it's at the Aston Aloha Beach Hotel, and that is in Wailua?
Yes. Yep. It's the one that's changed names several times,
yeah.
But it's right on the river there.
So people would be able to speak to the filmmaker. Jonathan, have you seen the film?
I have. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. I think when people don't understand things, it's worth it to come to hear the perspective of concern. And I do want to validate that these smart meters send out a signal about every 2 minutes, and it's a strong signal.
No, it's more often than that.
When I was working on the meter, it was looked about 2 minutes. What are you reading it at?
I was looking at pulses coming off the meters every 10 to 15 seconds.
I heard a bunch of different...
That's right. It's all of the above. Sometimes they're a little quieter than others, but it's very frequent. We did put down a $10 suggested donation. No one would be turned away, but the group is paying to have Josh DeSole fly over here, put him up, and get him a car.
Okay, so we can only say that there's a suggested donation.
That's
we can't
right.
put a price on it. And then did you and could you invite the KIUC Board of Directors or those people? Because, you know, maybe inviting... We've got so much feedback. Do you have your radio on?
I don't. I have to leave.
Okay, I'm going to have to take you off the air because it's just so loud. But if you could, I would say, okay, yeah. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
I hope that people within the company go and see it because at a minimum, if they see what people are concerned about and worried about.
Yeah, they can better respond to it.
They could better respond to it. When did you see the film?
I have, yes.
And then, so, what's your response? Because you have been less concerned about the health effects of smart meters. Your issue isn't that you don't want smart meters, right? Or is it?
My main issue is that KIUC should be a functioning, healthy, democratically run cooperative. And what that means is when members have concerns about anything, about privacy concerns or about health concerns, that the cooperative should respect them, and they shouldn't have to give a big, long explanation as to why they don't want to do something. It should be like, oh, you don't want to do that. Okay, great. How can we accommodate you? You know, that's what I want from my co-op. I want them to care about people. I want them to share the concerns, even if they don't necessarily agree with them. And I want them to care for members of the community and treat each other with respect. And, you know, here's kind of a related story. I just had a guy give me a phone call last night, and he was telling me about a friend of his, an 80-year-old woman. She had recently, her health took a turn for the worse, and she had to bring some medical equipment into the home. And when she did, her bill, her electric bill, went up 250%, and she can't afford to pay that. And so she contacted KIC and said, hey, here's my situation. I have very poor health. I needed to bring this medical equipment into my home. My bill is now 250% of what it used to be. Can you help me out? And they told her flat out no.
Is that because that equipment is super high consuming?
Yeah, that it runs on electricity and stuff, and she needs that in order to stay healthy and stay alive. But it's my understanding that co-ops and utilities all across the country have programs that take this kind of thing into account. And so I don't understand why KIUC was so negative in their response. As a member of a cooperative, I want them to be a cooperative that has concern and takes care of our kupuna and our those who are in infirm health and stuff. I mean, obviously, it's not, you don't want a situation where they're just giving electricity away to anybody who calls and asks for it. But, you know, she has a serious medical condition, and I think that this is an example where KIUC has not taken an appropriate reaction to this person's health concern. And I don't understand why that would be.
Well, do you have a comment?
Yeah, we had a caller. They're asking a question about the smart meters. He was asking if it is using electricity to communicate with KIUC and no one's actually physically walking up to read it, how are these electrical waves, or what are these electrical waves? Is it radiation, or what type of frequency?
It's in the microwave band. I think it's like 900 millihertz or kilohertz. But, you know, I'm not a technical guy.
Uh-huh. That sounds right, though.
I know it's in the microwave band.
Okay, he was just curious about the type of electricity.
So it's not radio waves, it's microwaves, so it's similar to your cell phone.
Yeah, or your Wi-Fi, but it's a different band than either of those two. It's
right.
On its own separate
when
band.
When we were walking and metering it, we could isolate it right there to specifically that signal.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it has more signals, maybe the pulse I was seeing, which was strong, went all the way out to the yellow line in the middle of the road, and I couldn't tell how much further it went because it was picking up the signal from...
Oh, from your neighbor.
From across the street at that point. I don't have one.
Oh, you don't have one.
I don't have one, and I know that some people are going to refuse to pay it. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha. I wanted to talk about water.
Okay.
And an upcoming water law workshop that's going to be held on December 6th from 6 to 8. It's a Friday. It's the first Friday in December. And Kapua Spro is coming over from Oahu with some of her students from the Richardson School of Law. And they're going to be putting on water law on Kauai workshop. All the pertinent water issues going on here, and maybe touching on what's going on in Waimea, and maybe Wailua. Don't know.
That's a Sunday. Is that right? December 1st is a Sunday?
December
6th.
Friday, December 6th. The first Friday in December.
And what time is it?
6 to 8.
P.M.
Uh-huh. And it's a weird time, but...
I can make it.
Yep,
I'll go.
And where is that? Because
the New Malu Canoe Club. It's the new block building by the jetty.
Okay.
From 6 to 8 o'clock.
Well, that sounds like that'll be super valuable. Kapua Spro is one of the water law experts here on the island, so I'm sure that she has got a lot of really great things to say.
And I just emailed both you guys her water primer, water law in Hawaii, Kawaiʻola, and it's available online, and it's really, it's like a cliff note version of everything pertinent to know about Hawaii water law. And she wrote it. There are also companion books that are put out by Richardson School of Law also, one on Iwi Kupuna and the other one on cultural practices. So all three of them I highly recommend. And one other Hawaii law book is by Lawrence Meike, and it's called Water and the Law in Hawaii. And it's a little bit drier. Kapua's books rock. Dr. Meike's books go into more depth about all the, like the McBride decision and Rapun and Waiahole, and really flesh out the pertinent water law cases. So between those two books, it's really everything you needed to know. And nobody owns the water in Hawaii. It is held as a public trust. It's available for lease for beneficial uses only. But no Swiss bank owns our water.
But if the water gets diverted upstream for lease over to a development or a big ag application, and you're downstream, there's not a lot you can do about it.
Is
that correct? Okay, what would you do?
Well, first you have to make sure that the leases that the diversion is operating under are current. Most of them are not. Anytime any water is used for a purpose that has been changed, like from cane or pineapple to diversified ag, that water needs changes. drastically. And so all these water leases were supposed to be reevaluated when everything turned over. There's also a pretty important fact that whenever a new water lease is negotiated, 30% is supposed to go to the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, or to DHHL, Hawaiian Homeland. 30% of all water leases is supposed to be the fuel to build Hawaiian homes.
And isn't it also true that a certain amount of water is owned, if you will, by the stream itself, and that
50%.
Certain minimum flow, 50%?
Any of the major water cases that have gone the decade of battle and hit the Supreme Court and come back with a final decision, every single one of them, the Supreme Court has put back at least 50% in the stream.
So those are minimum stream flows.
Minimum stream flow. And that's a historic standard. You never took more than half the water.
So Earth Justice, I believe they are working on Waimea River to help get some of that diversion put back into the river?
Right. Right. And we could look at the whole situation, what the water is going for, if it's a beneficial use, if it's a legal use, and how much is actually needed. It is not a beneficial public use of Hawaii water to dump it into the ocean. It needs to stay in the ahupua'a it belongs in. The ocean deserves fresh water. The ocean deserves its springs coming up on the reef where it's always had traditional freshwater flow. That is a beneficial use. It is not wasted water. Our reefs are dependent upon that cleansing action. So our streams are dependent on the flushing flows that a normal high-flow regime from precipitation gets. If it's heavily diverted, you don't get that flushing flow. So you just kind of get a trickle-down effect. So water is going to be really paramount of importance. I don't know if you guys know Dave Craddock just resigned from the water.
Yeah, why did that happen?
Well, I think there was a little bit of a rift with the Board of Water, the Department of Water Board, and the administration, and that's about all that's been said. It's very interesting. I don't think it's a secret that Mr. Craddock was a staunch proponent of the horizontal drill.
So are you going to come to this meeting? And I was just speaking about how we have renamed the horizontal drill to the Kahili High Level Well Savings Energy Plan.
Right. They painted it green.
They painted it green. We're having a lot of feedback on this, so I'm going to have to, like, shorten this call. But I want you to know I put your name forward. I know who this caller is as... somebody maybe to be considered to be on the environmental and public health impact study because your research capability is so powerful.
Oh, well.
Thank you, caller.
Honor. Thank you. And again, it's the first Friday of December, Friday, December 6th from 6 to 8 at the Niumalu Canoe Club.
Water Law on Kauai Workshop. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. And check your email for that water primer and share it with anybody.
And I'll put it on Facebook.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox Live, and Eric Cannon is in the house with me, and same with Jonathan Jay. Our overall theme is... implied consent and like how important it is to actually have actual consent, and it takes a lot of citizen activism. But this month we have had the Marriage Equality Act.
Good news.
Passed. I have to just own my bias. Yes, I feel good about that. I remember when I was a child, marriage across the races was considered sinful by the Bible's terms. And
yeah, misogyny, isn't that what they call that?
No, that's violence to women.
Hmm.
But they couldn't marry different races. That was considered ungodly. And I feel like this is just a fair equality act, you know. So that is something that has been put forward. We have another caller that's holding. Hopefully we don't have that static. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, and I do still have an echo, so I'm going to have you make it quick, but what's up? What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Carrie from Hawaii Island.
Yay.
And I just wanted to report, if everybody doesn't know already, that we have passed Bill 113.
Yay, yay, yay.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We've been excited about that. We were hoping that you would call in. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
With this GMO prohibition bill, it was a 6-3 vote, yes?
Yes.
And it seemed like you guys got through it pretty quick. I was surprised it wasn't a 17-hour marathon.
Well, it's been going for about 6 months
yes.
now. And I think they were weary, and they just wanted to get to a vote, and it was very quick. I almost missed it. I was live streaming and recording the meeting, and I barely got my stuff turned on. I think Zendo explained that he had car trouble, and that's why he missed the morning. And then Margaret spoke a bit, and then I believe it was Margaret that called for the question. And Brenda Ford seconded it, and then they voted to go ahead and vote. And then the vote was, as you said, it was 6-3. Chair Jay Yoshimoto, Gregor Iligan, and Dennis Onishi voted against, all else in favor.
So, yeah, I was just in the other room, and it was, like, done. And so I had it
yeah.
live streaming, and but I was thrilled for you guys. So here's the questions. We had our Bill 2491 pass 6-1, and then our mayor vetoed it. And we watched this incredible chess game of having a council member pulled out at the last minute so there wasn't a time that she could have voted on an override. And then, you know, we were doing an override vote, got jammed up in the middle, took a break, got a new person in there, did the final. You know, it definitely felt like double overtime in a game. And it was very, very stressful. In your experience over there, are you guys anticipating a veto from your mayor?
It's certainly a possibility. He's been exceedingly silent on the issue. So we don't really have any, as far as I know, any Mayor Kanoi on the record. A few people, since the vote this afternoon, I've seen posts that they have been calling the mayor's office and encouraging him to sign it. The council did also vote to expedite the transfer. Normally they hold stuff for 5 days, but they voted to send it to him today. So he has, Mayor Kanoi has 10 days from today, I believe, or maybe tomorrow, to sign it and it becomes law, or he doesn't sign it and it becomes law, or he vetoes it. And there is a big concern just because he's been so silent. So
if you guys have to do an override on Kauai, we needed a supermajority of 5. What do you guys need to override a veto?
We need 6, which we had today.
And are many of them tenuous?
Yes, I would say so. The fact that the chair voted for it last time, but he also, the chair wanted to introduce an amendment, and he had passed it around at the last meeting, and it was not well received, so he... It was printed in the paper that he was pulling it and wasn't planning to introduce it. But he did change his vote. He voted yes last time, and he voted no today. So, and we have the same politics here. So there's, you know, who knows what's going on behind the scenes.
And you're
We're
getting...
not supposed to talk to each other at all, but... Go
yeah,
ahead.
I was going to say, and you're getting the same heavyweight biotech industry disinformation... information campaign?
Pretty much, yeah, and they're not even here. The major opposition has been coming more from the papaya industry here, who have been exempt from day one. They were always exempt. But it's been the papaya industry and the Cattlemen's Association and Richard Haas specifically, and all of them, you know. Felicia Maluafati came over for a meeting or two. Other representatives have come over and testified. So they're putting effort out here, and they're not even here. It's been very interesting.
Your bill is so much more substantial than Kauai's bill. We're just saying, say what you're spraying. We're not even saying don't spray it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Your bill is saying, don't even be here. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How much do you think it could have influenced your council to see the stress and the community division on Molokai, Maui, Oahu, and Kauai?
A lot. We've been impressing upon them for this and a lot of other issues. And actually, back to the PLDC.
Yes.
Remember
the,
our
yes,
lovely PLDC?
Public Land Development Corporation was a big issue.
Uh-huh. It became very apparent last year to the various councils that we, the people, are all talking to each other, and we're all backing each other up, and we all have stories to share. In fact, it was an amazing kudos to Kauai. I mean, if nobody has mentioned yet, there was a large contingency of people that came over from Kauai today and testified. Dustin Barca came over, and Fern, and Kalani, and I don't even know who all, a lot of people. So mahalo, Kauai, big mahalos to you. I think it helped a lot.
Well, we,
I really, really do.
We were really happy to have that contingent go, and we have been just enormously strengthened and feel loved up by the different islands that have been coming here, like Molokai, and it is expensive to come from Molokai. Have
it
been
is.
Coming over, and families, struggling people. We have people from Maui coming, people from Oahu, people from Hawaii Island. And this unity has been great. And there's been a lot of unity around our island. And we are, I think everybody feels sad that the workers from those companies are feeling alienated. But what I hope is that they will actually have a healthier job. That when, anytime you have to reveal your cards, you're going to be more conscious of what you do. And
mm-hmm.
so as they reveal their cards, I know full well there are plenty of good ways to grow plants without poisoning them. And they will just work a little bit more to find a way. And doesn't mean that they can't keep poisoning them, but I think that they're going to be more conscious. I think that their trending is going to be good. I don't think these people are going to be out of a job. What I hope is that these companies will change their business model. But you're really lucky. When the Public Land Development Corporation came out, I said the Agribusiness Development Corporation is basically Exhibit A of why we do not want the Public Land Development Corporation. Because once the ADC, the Agribusiness Development Corporation, took hold, there was no consent. There was no information. They just did what they wanted to do with the water, the land, and nobody's asking. And you know, what I call crowdsourcing information, even after the 6-1 vote here, the next 20 straight days, there was heavy poisoning on the land and in windy days. And then just today, yesterday, even since this came up on Saturday, they're cutting land on many new acres. It's the footage is going on the internet. We're looking at it. It hasn't slowed them down. If anything, it's accelerated their
mm-hmm.
expansion efforts, because they probably want to be utilizing all this before we have our environmental and public health impact study done, also known as the EFIS. And that was a piece that's kind of like an environmental impact statement. People want that to be slowed down. There is no bond on these companies that if they leave, when the soil is exhausted, when the market is shot, if they leave, they don't have to clean up the mess. And they aren't having to pay, you know, GET tax or land tax. It's an enterprise zone. They're being subsidized. They are generous in certain ways, but that's at their choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good that Hawaii is being able to nip that in the bud, just like with the Public Land Development Corporation. We were able to stop a lot of it. We didn't really stop all of it. The things that they really wanted the most, those urban centers, they still
They're
got
still
that.
Happening.
They're still
yep.
happening. And so they reached for everything. And
yep.
so we were able to push them back on just the raw land, you know.
Yeah.
But you
well,
were a big part of that.
Oh, well, thank you. It was all of us. It was all of us. I do a lot of video for any of your listeners who don't know mm-hmm. who I am or what I
and
do.
And the light signs and, yep.
Yes, we have the light brigade. Yes, that was
the
fun. It was many things, you
yep.
know. The every time the governor stepped foot on this island, we tried to, you know, make our presence known, and I think he got it towards mm-hmm. the end. So
and that happened here, too. We were all a team together. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they saw that. You know, they could tell that, you know, that was one of the things that we did here on Hawaii Island for our GMO bills, too, is we all had matching green armbands. You know, and back to the people traveling here, we appreciate that so much. You know, we don't have a lot of experts here. We don't have the industry here. So it was, you know, difficult sometimes for us to come up with expert testimony. And so the other islands, the other outer islands especially, really picked up the slack there for us. And so mahalo to you all. We appreciate that. And the solidarity was awesome.
I
think the recent special session at the legislature was a great thing, too, because everybody's kind of woken up and tuned in, and I think we're in really good shape come January for the ADC and whatever else is coming down the pipe, because it's never over. We won today, but even now, still, we have to watch them every second. We have to keep our eye on the ball.
And it is activists that are unpaid, often taking really big personal sacrifice in their time, their money, you know, family relationships, their job, all kinds of things like that, that are working against it, where it's mostly financed, the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are billion-dollar corporations. Obviously, they're not making $1 billion on a small island, but they have the capacity to really put that pushback. How about you guys with smart meters? Does Hawaii Island have an issue with smart meters? Do you guys have smart meters?
No, and not like you guys, but there has been some talk about it, but it's not a real big issue here yet. The big energy issue here is, number one, the cost of our electricity. We pay the most of anybody, even more than Oahu. And then the geothermal is kind of our other energy issue here. But not that they don't have them. I don't know. I would have to check on that for sure. But it definitely, if they're doing it, it's not like they're running, you know, radio ads about it and telling everybody.
Right. It happens silently. I'm glad you brought up the word cost. I just wrote that down for myself and the listener. I know that the attack ads that are going after our success here with the Bill 2491 is that it will cost the individual taxpayer a lot of money. So after the top of the hour, we will speak to that a little bit, because we have, you know, plenty of lawsuits, plenty of expenses that are so much higher than what the implementation of this particular element will be. But I thank you, and I give our blessings to Hawaii Island, and we thank you for standing there with us. Shannon Rudolph, I have to Sharon, so many people that are on Wolford that are always
Sharon
Williford.
Nomi Carmona flew over here many times to help us out. We appreciate her very much.
Jennifer Ruggles from Hawaii Island was a big
yes,
thing to
we
help
thank
us over
you, Jennifer.
Here.
You're borrowing her, by the way. We want her back.
Yes. So
I got to say about Jennifer Ruggles, me and her were actually wrestling partners in high school. I was in ninth grade, a little fat boy, and she was a senior. And then
did she whip you?
Oh, yeah. She used to beat me up a little bit, even though she was a lot smaller than me. But then we run into each other about 10 years later at a GMO protest over here
and
on Kauai.
And she came in here,
So she's a warrior on the mat and a warrior in public.
And we've had Brent Norris and, you know, many people from Hawaii Island also giving us mana'o. So we are across the islands helping each other out. So, Carrie, congratulations. Stay in touch on this. We wish you well. We wish you no veto. Your success is all the island's success, truly. Truly.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me. And everybody stay tuned. We'll host it everywhere and let you know how it goes when we hear back from the mayor.
Okay. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K284AL in Haleiwa. This is Kauai Soapbox Live. I'm Felicia. Jonathan Jay is in the studio with me. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Bali High Realty, Ana Hola Stringed Instruments, Aya's Garden, and Al Pastor Tacos. We greatly appreciate our underwriters that keep this and other topics on the air.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
Ana Hola Stringed Instruments, still making guitars, ukulele, and violins one at a time from Kauai's ancient koa. Every tree has its own song. Time-honored designs and precision-built custom orders. Beginning and master instrument building classes. Prompt and complete setup, repair, restoration, and reforestation. Ana Hola Stringed Instruments proudly supports KKCR. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio and supporting us, all of you listeners, as well. I have another caller on the air. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
What's up?
Can you? Hey, I'm just calling in because I wanted to pipe up about the smart meter situation and KIUC's decision to charge those with anything other than a smart meter, the takeoff fee and the $10 monthly fee, and, you know, they're trying to rationalize and saying and giving the title to those with these smart meters cost causers. That's David Thistle's CEO's description. And, well, one thing I want to say is it's really not accurate to call us cost causers.
Yeah, no, it's wrong.
Really, and no one's really calculated the cost of those smart meters, which actually might be more than what those who have chosen to have analogs or the digital ones that aren't smart meters. It hasn't really been, you know, objectively analyzed. It was basically a reaction to people claiming their rights to privacy and to health, and KIUC basically didn't like it. It didn't fit their program. They've been planning this without, you know, considering input that the public has been trying to give them for more than a year, and they just, in fine fashion, charged ahead. So now, you know, those of us that have decided to stand up for our rights are basically being punished in this way. And there are, you know, there are ways to really objectively sit down and figure it out, but there's no interest. I've been to the board meetings. I've been to their strategic meeting that was just the same night as Bill 2490 last Thursday, and there really isn't a receptivity to public input, you know, regarding this or almost anything. So, you know, my decision, I'm not making a call to action on the line right now. I'm making a call to inaction, which in my mind means I'm not paying that $10 a month fee when it shows up in my bill. That's my call to inaction, refusing to pay it. And because
I would encourage people to take that $10.27 and set it aside, you know, because this right now we've got the petition has been accepted. And so we're going to have a member wide vote about this whole matter. It's been taken out of the board's hands and it's been put into your hands and my hands and everyone, Felicia, everyone who's a member of KIC. And we are the ones who are going to make a determination about whether this is a fair fee or not. And so,
right.
I would encourage people exactly what you just said.
And that issue of informed consent that you're discussing this afternoon is that, you know, I went out of my way to inform myself. KIUC actually informed me erroneously on a number of issues about how many times does it pulse a day, how strong are those waves, they were just fed the industry standard, the industry propaganda, and it's not accurate. And there's people on the island with, you know, tools that can measure this, and they're finding absolutely that it's not what they said. And their response to that is, oh, your instruments aren't strong enough. Like, it's so not true. So there's a very huge problem here that of course, goes beyond, you know, them not being intelligent, because it's not that. There's an agenda, and they're going to plow ahead whether we're a co-op members or not. And I think it's the ballot that's coming up is going to take a lot of people sharing an intelligent discussion about what it means to, you know, take on this cost. Are we going to share it among the membership, as we always have done for far-flung members that live in Coquay and Wainiha? That's their contention, that we're creating costs that weren't there before. But so did people who live far, way far out, and they had to drive up to Coquay to check their meters. Once did they charge them an extra penny for that.
I want to make the comparison, too, that, like, when there are handicapped exits or entrance or things like that, that somehow isn't all of a sudden shifted just on the people who are handicapped.
No, we all pay for that.
We all pay for that. That's
community. And the thing is, there may be more and more people as we move down the road, the discovery that of the issues of privacy, as people wake up to it, you know, that sometimes it's slow to wake up and they want to make that choice in the future to not have it. You know, to vote for it now, just to share the cost, if that's what the choice is going to be, to share the cost among
all the members,
membership.
Just like we share the cost for all the polls.
Because what it means is that you in the future, if you go, holy crud, I'm only now figuring out what smart meters are and I don't want one either, darn, I should have voted for that, sharing it among members, because now I've got a, if by chance, you know, the ballot goes through where we do end up paying the $10 a month, then, you know, I think people need to look ahead and say, I don't know much about this, but I'd rather err on the side of caution and only pay $12 a year, whether I have my smart meter now or not, rather than $10 a month, should I down the road decide that those smart meters are problematic.
Well,
and I think that's going to be a big thing. It's a wise choice for people to go a bit conservatively. It leaves you the option to get that darn meter off your house if and when you figure out that it's not a choice for privacy or health.
Well, the reason why I made the comparison with
the ADA.
The ADA, the Disabilities Act,
right,
is that some of these people who are electromagnetic sensitive, electrosensitive, it is a disability. I mean, maybe it's unhealthy for all of us, but some people, it really is truly debilitating to
absolutely
put themselves in that kind of environment. And what happens is if they live in a close neighborhood, even if they don't have it themselves, the whole area around them has it. An argument that I was reading, so I'm just kind of getting from the two of you, and I know I do have calls holding, but I want to get a little bit of this out of you guys, is, do you know, I'm told that when they have as much solar arrays on the system that they become dependent on these smart meters. Is there accuracy in that? That they need to be able to have this?
I don't know about that, and I can imagine that there's an efficiency quotient in there, like somehow the meters might be. But for now, the disinformation is so big from the industry creating the smart meters, from the Department of Energy that has this agenda to have a whole fully linked-in grid control system, that it's so hard to tease it out, and it's going to be a process to really say, is that true? And especially with Kauai, we're not hooked up to anybody else. This smart grid, they're talking about hooking up people from New York to California. These grids interact with each other in a way that you can share energy. Well, we're an island. We're not sharing energy with anybody else. A grid, you know, a large smart grid, is really not the kind of an issue that Kauai faces as somebody on the mainland might, you know? So once again, where the sort of mainland idea or larger metropolis idea is being imposed on an island where it's just not necessarily appropriate technology.
So
because we're part of the package deal and it's good money. And by the way, you know, the savings, I'm not sure about that when they say, oh, we're going to be saving the smart meters, because they have to be replaced every 5 to 8 years.
A caller?
But the analog meter I put on my house is going to last me 20 or more, probably.
Caller?
So, you know, and when I asked at the meeting, what about compensating me? I'd like credit for not having a smart meter on my house, because you didn't shell out $150. And David Bissell said, well, they've already been paid
caller
for it. And, you know, that,
caller?
That's,
you can know, you hear me? thank you so much for all this information. I do have Gary Hooser on the line who's scheduled to come on. I want to let him come on.
Great. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Aloha. Thank you.
Aloha. Gary?
Hi, Felicia.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Felicia. Thank you to KKCR.
Yeah, big deal, right?
Yeah, and you heard about Hawaii today, right? So
I did. That's celebrate. I think that's a really good thing. I haven't read their latest version, but it sounds like a good step forward for them also.
6-3 was what the vote was, and we just had Carrie Marks on from Hawaii Island giving us an update on that. They also might be a little bit nervous about their mayor vetoing it and having to go through the same thing. It sounds like they had a chess game kind of going on over there like we did.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. I know today in the Honolulu Star Advertiser, as well as in our own local paper, the Garden Island, the message seems to be that you know, going out to these companies, that they should honor the will and the desire of the community and stop fighting it. It's obvious that people want protections, and these companies should give us those protections.
Well, it's part of home rule.
Yes, exactly.
So we were talking a little bit about costs. Like, that is seemingly something that is the back at you piece that's coming out of the media from the other side, that, oh, you know, this is going to cost a lot of money. And, you know, I wondered if you could speak to that.
Well, you know, the cost, you know, there's the potential legal costs, and it's not clear right now whether or not these companies are actually going to take us to court or not. In a lot of communities, they threaten and then at the end of the day decide not to. Again, as I've said before, that it'll look really, really bad for them in the media and the public for these big rich companies to literally sue a small community like ours for the right to spray chemicals next to schools. So, but if they do take us to court, we do have a number of attorneys, very qualified, nationally known attorneys, who have offered to defend the bill, what they call pro bono. That means these companies, these attorneys would not charge us any legal fees. There might be some incidental costs, but there wouldn't be any legal fees. And there's 9 months before the bill goes into effect. And so that means there's 9 months to work on legal issues. If the bill needed to be amended, it could be amended during that time. And because it's not really in effect, even though it's a law, that the companies haven't incurred any damages, so there's nothing to sue us for in terms of recovering costs or something like that. You know, there are no damages. They haven't had to comply during that period. So the thought that they're going to sue us and win for millions of dollars is totally, you know, not true. It's just not going to happen. The cost of implementing, the biggest cost would be the study, the environmental...
Public health impact study?
Yes, thank you.
The EFIS and the Pesticide and Genetic Engineering Joint Fact-Finding Group.
Yes. And so that, you know, clearly you have to pay money to get consultants and to do proper studies. We're spending millions of dollars on our landfill just to site it, a new landfill study. You know, the county has to spend money on things that are important to protect health and welfare and the environment. And so it's part of the cost of protecting the community.
Right. And we, on this show, were speaking about the new site for the power company in Anahola. There's impact studies. Hopefully they're paying that. But we're also looking at the Department of Water and their renamed horizontal drill, which they've now called Kahili High Level Well Energy Savings Project. That one, I've gone to those meetings, they're looking at a $60 million implementation fee. So
right.
Comparatively, it's kind of
small. Comparatively, you know, it's a relatively small amount. You know, it might be a million, maybe $2 million to do a proper environmental and health study. But, you know, it's important to point out there's a cost either way you look at it. There's a cost of not knowing. There's potential environmental and health costs. And it's possible, and I'm going to certainly work toward this end, to get the state to cover some of this cost, if not all of it. The state actually should be paying for it in terms of the health department and evaluating the health impacts. Also, it's possible down the road to charge the companies themselves for the cost of regulating, not the cost of the study probably, but for the cost of the regulatory framework.
Yeah, and there's can be a lot of different study that comes forward on that. I know that I even just sent an email in about a consulting firm that does amazing work, instantaneous work on monitoring. And it might be that it can be contractors rather than having to bring in a whole big group. There's lots of things that can be looked at and discussed as this 9 months comes forward to develop. I have another caller that would like to come on the line and ask a few questions. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, it should be fine.
Hi. You hung up on me.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Trying to get...
So you should turn your radio down, caller.
Turn your radio off, caller.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean to hang up on you. Turn it off.
Okay. 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 Am I on?
Yes. Can you hear me? Yeah, I didn't hang up on you. I put you on hold.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I have several questions for Gary. One is, how do we get to these pro bono attorneys if we need them? Because we have a county attorney. And the other one is, do we have anything that's going to go on the ballot that will be maybe more like your original bill? The other thing is about their stalling, using lawsuits to stall. And then the other thing would be was what we were just talking about their paying their own way in when they're not. In yes.
You mean like through a permit fee or something?
That every single way you can think of. And some of it is that their fees that they're not paying or they're paying much less for and things like that. And taxes and I don't know. Anything you can think of. Because this is their, you know, we're having to do all of this because of them.
So I'm going to let him, I'm going to take you offline and let him answer those questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, great. I'll start at the first one and try to work my way through. And if I forget something or don't address it, let me know. How do we get a hold of the pro bono attorneys? There's essentially two teams of attorneys. One team, attorney Teresa Tico, partnering with a fellow named Peter Shea, the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law. They are working directly with the county attorney's office. I believe they're in communications now with the county attorney office and discussing whatever agreement might be reached there. The county has rules and regulations on how to engage and contract with different companies, and I believe they're working through that. The other team is Earth Justice, Paul Achitoff, and George Kimbrell of the Center for Food Safety. They'll be representing community groups and individuals in the community. And so they're right now discussing that with various people and community groups. And so if anyone who believes they've been harmed, it could be your health has been harmed or you live in an area that gets exposed to this, you're welcome to contact me, and I could give you the contact information for those attorneys. They are reaching out into the community. So those would be the two teams. That's how the pro bono thing works. And the community group side, they work totally independent from the county. And the other, Teresa Tico and Peter Shea, would actually be working for the county and under the direction of the county attorney's office, ultimately. The other question regarding the, I thought I had it all. All I got was one. Are you there?
Yeah. She's off. I think that is mostly it.
Well, she wanted to know also about varying funding mechanisms.
Okay, funding mechanisms. The law the basic underlying state law allows the county to charge the direct costs of regulation. So if it costs, let's say, two people to regulate this, then the law allows us to charge that cost, not any more than that. We would probably have to amend the ordinance that was in the original version, but didn't make it into the final version. But the underlying state laws allow us to charge for the cost of regulation. Now, we can't charge the companies. Private landowners can do pretty much what they want on their land. But if the pesticide, if there's runoff, or if it's contaminating the water, and we had definitive proof of that, we could charge these companies for the cleanup. Yes.
She had one other question I'm remembering now, and that was about basically like something being on the ballot, whether that would be a referendum or initiative, like if people wanted to put something stronger on there. I know that many people, when they look at what happened on Hawaii Island and the disappointment that happened in the amendments where the moratorium was lost,
right.
If people wanted to do a referendum or initiative on the ballot,
That each county, it's kind of interesting that counties can do that, but the state cannot. So there's no state referendum. If the county of Kauai, I'm not looking at the charter, but if the people wanted to put a question on the ballot, they could do that. You know, you could pass a law by having people vote on it in Kauai County. It would take an organization, a committee, a group of people who come up with the language. You know, for example, it could be the parts of the bill that did not make it to the council, those parts, the moratorium and maybe the open air testing part, could be put into the legal language that's necessary. And then this group of people, the citizens group, would go out and get a certain number of signatures.
Yeah, roughly 10,000.
Okay, 10,000 signatures. And then those signatures would be all of registered voters. Those signatures will be validated by the county clerk, I believe. And then ultimately, at the end of the process, that question would go on the ballot. There's some other things that have to happen, but ultimately it would go on the ballot. And then the people of Kauai during the next election, would be November of 2014, would vote on that. Kauai has done that in the past. The most recent one had to do with resort zoning.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
People went out, they got the signatures, and it went on the ballot, and the people voted for it, and it passed. Unfortunately, the courts now have thrown that out. And so it's very important if anyone does do a ballot initiative that they do it very carefully and have it, you know, looked at by all the authorities. But
so,
it's quite an ambitious project, but it's a way to do something that's bolder than you the regular process.
Do you think that the lawyers for the Center for Food Safety or Center for Human Rights would probably be willing to help look at that if people wanted to do that? I mean, those guys really know, and so one thing is for a community group to do a lawsuit, but maybe another thing is to do a well-framed referendum.
Right. If we're talking about, let's say, the moratorium or the parts of 2491 that did not make it through, they've already been looked at by various lawyers, so it'd be fairly easy to incorporate those into a ballot initiative.
Okay, and just to help me, what's the difference between a ballot initiative and a referendum? Am I using that word wrong?
A ballot initiative is an easier word to use. It means, you know, something can go on the ballot. There's an initiative and then there's referendum. I shouldn't know the difference.
Okay, but so the word you use is a ballot initiative.
Yes, I think so. You're putting an initiative on the ballot.
So people, if I'm hearing you correctly, people could do a ballot initiative for the parts of the bill that got amended out because that was looked at already pretty solidly.
Yeah, yes. I mean, you could do one for anything, but that would be the, with regards to this subject matter that we're talking about and that everyone's concerned about, that would be a relatively straightforward offering, yes. Okay. You know, it's a lot of work to get the signatures, and you know, a lot of people might sign it, and then you find out half of them aren't registered to vote, or they can't read their name, or that type of thing. So you have to get, if the requirement is 10,000, you might actually have to get 12 or 13 to make sure it's done right.
Yeah, the requirement is just under 9,000, and that's why I said 10,000.
Okay.
To put an extra 1,000 signatures on there. But, you know, at the same time as people are getting ready for a ballot initiative, you can also be registering voters so that you're kind of doing two things at once there.
Right. A lot of people just recently have been talking to me about this, and with the momentum already built up and the awareness on this issue, if someone wanted to take the project on, it makes sense that the timing for such a project would be pretty good. And you can, during the political process, which we just all experienced, passing a bill through the traditional way, you're not going to get something as bold as you might get through a ballot initiative, I don't believe. I think if you put something on the ballot, you could have it stronger. It doesn't get watered down, as a traditional process normally would do. Because you're compromising all the way through to get the votes that you need to pass it.
Do you know how many voters typically are on the island?
You know, I want to say around 24 or so. And, you know, I want to be clear, though, even though...
Wait, 24,000?
Yes, 24,000.
Okay.
That would be my guess. Even though... you'd get something bolder through the initiative. I am very pleased with what we passed at the council. I want to be clear. You know, we passed what I believe is to be the strongest disclosure measure that I've come across, period. And I looked at a lot in the research doing this. And we have criminal penalties. So, you know, these are four of the largest, you know, chemical companies in the world. And we passed a law that says they have to tell us what they're spraying, what they're growing. And they can't do it next to schools and hospitals. And if they do, they could go to jail.
Yeah.
And that's pretty strong.
It's significant. It's a big win. And then when it's coupled with this Bill 113, the GMO prohibition on Hawaii Island, together those send a pretty strong message. I know that the national and international press are looking at us. Eric, you had some callers with questions?
Yeah, we had a couple callers, and one of the callers was simple question was about the owner of all these lands that is leasing out to all the different agro companies. I mean,
there's just a number of them.
Yeah, just a general idea. He was thinking of maybe asking these people to give up their land to the organic farmers on the island, and it's just an idea. Another caller was asking about... something that she had just read about that just got passed, that if you want to sign a referendum, you have to have been a part of the previous election cycle, past election process. You've had to have vote in the previous election process to sign referendums now. But I guess this just got passed. This is what she just called about.
Is this in Hawaii State, or where is this?
I believe this is on Kauai.
Do you know, Gary?
I was asking if she could announce it, but she wanted me to, so...
There's been nothing recently passed that affects Kauai.
Okay, so if she can call back in, maybe.
She was saying is not only do you have to be a registered voter, you had to vote in the last cycle. It's
exactly.
Not just, and Jonathan's shaking his head no. That seems like something we would need to look at for people who want to do it.
The county charter is fairly easy to read, and it's easily available. The number of voters, how they do the math, is based, I think, on the last election. But I believe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The first question was...
Why don't we kind of target the landowners that are leasing out this land, or at least go kind of talk to them about giving up their land? Well, it's kind of a hard thing to do.
No private landowner is going to give up their land, you know, period.
And these are big, strong leases.
Yeah, and there is about a third of the lands being used by the seed companies, by these chemical companies, is state land. And the state Department of Agriculture has told me that they're looking for organic farmers, and they do have some land available. So I would contact the ADC or the Department of Agriculture and ask them about that.
And we did do that today. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. There is some land in Kekaha, and there is some land at Kahili there. What's that park they're just opening up right there? I think it's in the Kahili area.
Kalepa.
Yeah. It's Kalepa. And there are applications available that people can take out to do an application. And the serious application needs to have a very strong business plan, but they will go down to 10 acres.
Okay.
And Ohana o Kauai, in partnership with Regenerations, is working on doing an agricultural cooperative to help people be able to move into farming without having to be heavily funded themselves. It's a collective.
And I think this is one of the side benefits of this work we've been doing over the last 6 months is the awareness in the state of small farmers and organic farms and pesticides is higher than it's ever been. And I believe the State Department of Ag is going to be looking for ways to satisfy the community. And so this is a time to ask for stuff, to get together and look for land for organic farmers. They are looking for, you know, farmers that have experience, that have a track record, that have some substance to them. They're not just handing out land, you know, to anyone who comes up. So like Felicia said, you have to fill out an application and demonstrate some strong credibility, I believe.
Do you have anything to speak to what the mayor was saying in collaboration with the state? The mayor, who did come to the meeting on Saturday, I was at Thursday, Friday, and Saturday giving a shout-out to Mason Chalk for getting that county council position. Powerful meetings all 3 days there. The mayor was speaking to his faith that this voluntary disclosure is something that would work. You know, I have a lot of credibility issues with voluntary. I think if taxes were voluntary, a lot of people wouldn't pay them. But still, giving that the benefit of the doubt, you know, the mayor, they're December 1st. Isn't that the date that they would begin to voluntarily be disclosing? Do you have any thoughts on the state initiative? Because why not do both?
Exactly. I think we should do both. I share some skepticism that the voluntary way is not really going to happen. But, you know, we can try it. It doesn't hurt to try it, I suppose. We have, it doesn't stop us from putting forward our disclosure measures. The voluntary, I believe the program starts December 1st, but the actual disclosure is not until January. It only includes restricted use pesticides, which are the worst ones, but they only constitute about 25% of the pesticide use.
Right, and the glyphosate and those things, which is Roundup, there's some more ordinary pesticides. I want to speak to something that I've heard many people say from the other side. When we learn how much damage glyphosate or Roundup does, and we see just heavy use from neighbors, from the county, how likely do you think it will be that the county will evaluate their use of Roundup? Is that something that, you know, for parity, right? Is that something that's going to get looked at?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, the mayor, the administration could do it tomorrow if they wanted to. They don't need a law to do it. I was driving up down Kumo'o Road today, and I saw a big crew, I think a state highway worker. They had weed eaters out.
Yeah, they were going at it this morning, too.
Yeah, and so there's other ways to do it. And I think, again, it's another benefit of our action here. Everybody from state, county, golf courses, everybody is much more aware of the community concerns.
Mm-hmm. I loved how Chair Jay Fufaro also pointed out when that confrontation was made relative to the chlorine that's used in the water, when he disclosed, I had no idea, that the county is planning to use...
phase that out.
Phase that out. And they're going to use, yeah, like, light or something like that, ultraviolet light, some other way,
yeah,
to...
Right.
So there's a non...
To purify the water.
To purify the water. I have another, yeah, caller that's been holding that wants to, sure, ask you a question.
Sure.
I got to head off to jiu-jitsu right now, but I got to say, for anyone out there who hasn't seen the victory of, you know, the veto being overthrown, you can go on the Kauai Soapbox live page on Facebook, and you can see a great 2-minute video of all the amazing action.
Thank you for making that, Eric.
No worries. All right, aloha, guys. Thank you for calling, Gary.
Thank you.
Okay, you're on the air with Gary Hooser and Jonathan J. Felicia on KKCR.
Cool. Hi, everybody. I do have a question, and, you know, hopefully Gary may know the answer. Quite a few years ago, I took a class at KKC. It was a weekend class, and it was organic gardening, gardening with Glenn
Hans.
Yes, and it was a wonderful class. Recently, I heard that Syngenta was going to be putting money into KKC, the Kauai Community College, for gardening, but it was going to be more of a GMO-type gardening, and I wondered if you guys knew anything about that. You know, hopefully, I would love to see Kauai Community College put some effort into doing some, you know, full-time classes, organic gardening, and even raising chickens and livestock, because we certainly can use, you know, all of that here. So I'll get off the line, and maybe you guys can answer the question.
Okay.
Okay, thank,
yeah,
you.
There has been a shift. Gary?
Yes, I'm, yeah, sorry. I don't know of specific programs at Kauai Community College. I do know, as, in general, that the chemical companies are funding many university programs around mm-hmm. the world.
There has been a shift. I just do want to endorse that, because as Regenerations and many of us others, we were actually moved off the campus. So that was a little bit rough. Because we have had that strong organic presence. And just the way that the agriculture program there has been set up, it took out the aquaponics and the permaculture and pieces like that that had been in place there. But
they took that out? They took the aquaculture out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But
I do know that I get the titles mixed up. The chancellor or provost?
The
head of Kauai Community College.
Yes.
Did offer testimony opposing Bill 2491 in its early stages.
Yes. I think it is more the Department of Agriculture person there. I don't want to be gossiping about KCC, but she has some accuracy in what she's saying. I will use this moment to announce, can't remember the dates offhand, but Regenerations, I'm on that board. In mid-January, we're going to have an incredible permaculture 2-week workshop where you just learn so much. It's so intensive. It's really great, and that will be happening in Kalihiwai and I believe in Anahola Taro Patch, and as the time comes, we'll get more of that there. I have one other caller who has a question for you, and I appreciate the time you've taken.
Sure, I'll be happy to talk to the other caller, then I probably should go.
Okay, no worries. Thank you for holding. You're on the air with Council Member Gary Hooser.
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Gary, for coming on the air, and thank you for everything you've done over the last many, many months to get us this far in our battle to get these guys slowed down and maybe out of here. I have a question. I've been under the understanding lately, a lot of people have mentioned that the GMO companies, that most of what they do on their land is research with the chemicals to find out how much the corn can take and all, and that they only, a small percentage of their land, they actually export seed. Do you know, is that a true fact?
Well, it's been challenging all the way along to find out the true facts. And that's why the bill is there, because the companies really are not telling us. I believe that the vast majority of what's being done on the land is research. It's not, certainly it's not for human consumption. Apparently they're growing some of the corn for animal feed, for cattle feed. But I believe that most of it is research, and what type of research, whether they're studying the chemical tolerance or intolerance or whether or other things, I don't know, because they haven't been willing to disclose that. And, you know, I appreciate your kind words about the work I've done, but I want to shout out to my co-introducer, Councilmember Bynum, who's just been there all the way through and did a fantastic job helping move this forward. And at the end of the day, as you know, there was five votes in support. Council Chair Fafaro, you know, was under his domain and his control, and it passed because he supported it. And, of course, Councilmember Yukimura also.
Here, here.
But yeah, no, and the people in the community, it's just an awesome achievement by our community. You know, I'm happy to be a play a role in it, but there's a whole lot of people that helped, and people just showed up, people that were writing letters, people testifying, the doctors that stood up. You know, it takes a lot for a doctor to testify. Doctors don't show up at public meetings, but we had a number of physicians raise their hand and publicly say, you know, we've got some problems here and we need to deal with them. So, but thank you.
Yes, yes, thank you, and thank everybody, as you say. My follow-up question to that question is, if this is true, should not these companies be paying full tax on the land as industry rather than agriculture?
Yeah, I agree.
Should there be this change?
I agree 100%. And looking into that with Councilmember Bynum, our tax structure, there is no provision for industrial use of agricultural land, or no classification. And so I think that needs to be changed. Agricultural lands are taxed at lower than anywhere else because we want to encourage food production. We want to protect our agricultural lands, but I don't believe it was intended to do this heavy industrial research. Basically, we're subsidizing these large chemical companies through low taxes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. And Gary, thank you so much
for
calling.
Lisa and Jonathan Jay, we talked about all the work everybody's done and KKCR getting the word out to the community certainly has done a fabulous job, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Aloha. And Jonathan, I know that you were at these meetings.
Sure.
And there's been so much bonding that's been going out and spending the nights in the rain, certainly helping me to have even more of an experiential understanding what it must feel like to be a homeless person when you have to sleep
when
out.
When it's not out of choice.
When it's not out of choice, when a houseless person sleeping on the sidewalk, sleeping on something uncomfortable, not being able to go to the restroom, you know, big challenges. So lots of learning in lots of ways and talking about activism and movement. And I know that there's been so many meetings going on, different things, but I want to give you another moment to really speak to the power company and that issue.
Well, thanks. The thing that I think that people need to understand about this meter fee is that it's very unfair to single people out. The whole premise of the co-op is that we're in it together, lokahi, togetherness. And whether you live in Haena or you live in Ele'ele, right next to the power plant, you know, everybody pays the same for electricity, even though the people who live at the power plant don't need miles and miles of wires and all those utility poles to get their power. So we're in it together, and the costs are socialized, and it's amortized. We all pay together. So these meters that do a perfectly good job of telling KIEC how much power you've used, which is what a meter is for, you know, that's completely fair to also. That's just a cost of doing business for KIUC. And so that's a cost as a membership we should bear, as a community. And the thing that I want people to understand is the process that we're in. And that is the board of directors of KIUC at KIUC's management at their direction. They passed these unfair fees. It's a lot like the mayor vetoing, the bill. And so what we have, because it's a co-op, because it's a democratic co-op, we can override what the board did.
And so together as a community, we can say, no, we're not going to let you divide and conquer us. We're not going to let you single these people out. We're all in it together. We're all going to pay for our community's electricity together. And that's how it should be. And so I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be only the second time in the history of the co-op that we've had a Democratic member-wide vote. And I'm very upbeat, enthusiastic about that. Because if nothing else, it's the democratic process. It's a healthy exercise of the democratic process. And I'm so glad, and we are so blessed here on Kauai, that we have a co-op that we can do that.
Yeah, and every time that we stand up collectively to say, both for the power, the water, any of it, we need information and we need to make a collective decision. We teach them to not move forward without asking first.
Yeah, yeah. Every time we kue, we stand up, then they realize, oh, wow, hey, you know, maybe we should go to them first and let them know. We should do a better job obtaining consent because they haven't worked hard enough. I mean, you ask them about it, it's like, how come you didn't tell us about this? They say, oh, we did. But they're not doing enough.
No, they aren't. And right now, just on that point, I'm a little late for announcing it at 5:30 this evening. Mayor Carvalho is meeting with farmers on the west side. I think that is like the non-chemical farm people, though maybe it's everybody. I think that is at the Boys and Girls Club. The people in that area, they probably already know, but that's a meeting that's happening. And so, like, the in this water thing, a benefit zone, I see that's a Thursday, December 19th. I don't even know what that means. A lot of the water meetings, they have this piece in here when they have an executive session. The one on November 21st is coming up at 10 a.m. I see that they're going to be talking about replacing David Craddock. But they have a lot of that meeting is in executive session. But I do see that it will come up to be talking about the Kahili High Level Well Energy Savings Project Feasibility Study, which is...
That's a mouthful is what it is.
It is a mouthful. And when you put a very difficult thing together, that's the horizontal well drill. So 10 o'clock this Thursday, part of that will be there. The following time in the next month, which would be December 19th at 10 a.m., is probably when they're really going to be doing it deeply. And that's difficult. People have to take off work. If I go tomorrow, it means I got to take off poi. It takes so much tenacity,
right,
to show up and pay attention to all these things. I appreciate how much you're paying attention.
Well, and, you know, I want to say thank you for all the work that you do, Felicia. And I want to encourage people, if you want to find out more about water, which I do, This lecture that Kapua Sproat is going to be giving on Friday, December 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Niamalu Canoe Club, that's got to be invaluable because, you know, I've heard nothing but wonderful things about Kapua. You know, every time I have a question about water law, people just say, well, go ask Kapua Sproat. And so I feel really, really fortunate that I'm going to get a chance to be able to listen to her directly on December 6th at the Niamalu Canoe Club. That should be... anybody who wants to understand water, that's got to be your introduction to the water law.
Right. We have a caller holding. And callers, it's almost time for Jazz with John, so we're going to need these to be quick. Oops.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Oops. That was fast, too. Two fast calls.
You're on the air? Hello?
Wow, three fast calls.
Three fast calls. I maybe didn't do it right. All right. Well, they can call back. So do you feel like you have shared the essence of what you need on the electric?
I just want people to understand that this is a way that we can take back our power. And, you know, the decision is not up to a small group of people who sit on a board at KIUC. The decision is up to you and your neighbors and us and all of us who are members of KIUC, which is exciting. It's not very often that that the individual members get to be part of the decision-making process, and that's exactly what we have the opportunity to do now. So I really want to encourage people to not only take part in it, but to be excited about it because we had to fight for it.
Okay. And we got a caller on the air. Aloha.
Hello?
Thank you for holding.
Hey, how's it? Hey, yeah, good. I've testified at those water meetings. We need to get involved for sure. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, you know, as far as the
You're breaking up, caller. Can you repeat that, please?
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Hello?
Yes, barely. Try and stand.
I just wanted to say that we should have UH in that soil. It's a perfect laboratory for them to study what kind of bacteria and molds could remediate the soil that is hemp.
You're talking about hemp, caller, yeah?
Well, yeah. Well, people are saying they want hemp, huh? You know, they want to grow hemp out there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
They want to grow hemp, but I disagree with that because if you use it as a fuel source, you're going to make it aerosol, whatever the contaminants are. But I think it's a perfect place for UH to go in and do a new field of science of soil remediation, since they already, you know, got marine biology and astrology and all of these good academics that they're, you know, acknowledged for.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go in and see what kind of bacteria, you know, first study the soils, you know, and learn, let them categorize what's in the soil and what's been done. It's a perfect, since we've already started the experiment, let's finish it. You know
yes.
what I mean? When we break it down, let's not waste this opportunity to learn about it and how can we, you know, as a state, maybe we could profit for something that we can back in and go around the world and help everybody use their soil back.
Yep, that's a great idea. There's a lot of ways of doing bioremediation.
I don't hear anything about that. I hear people talking about hemp, and I just do that because, one,
well, we talk about...
I think we should do
medicinal caller, you're breaking
and recreational...
Up.
Hello?
You're breaking up. I'm going to have to take the next caller, but
yeah,
yes,
okay,
mycoremediation and bioremediation, thank you. Last caller, you're on the air. 2 minutes.
I appreciate you guys having this discussion, but everybody was so wrapped up with the GMO, but did anybody know that there was a Hawaiian Civic Club convention for all the West Coast and all of it was at the Marriott?
Yes, tell us about it. I was aware of that, and I haven't gotten to that yet, and I know that there was several different events for the Hawaiian community.
Best,
tell us about
the best
that one.
Felicia, was when Manoa Thompson spoke, and when he spoke, you know, other people were speaking, and they were on the plenary, but when he spoke, you could hear a pin drop, because when he spoke about Hawaii and the value of Hawaii, he said it's 24 karat gold because there's no other place that we can go. We can't just pick up and go. We are only a finite group of islands. And he said, so more so for us to protect all of our watershed, how we protect our oceans. And then he spoke about, you ready to...
He spoke about what?
And the World Wide Tour will be from 2014 to 2017. They'll have 20 crews and go to 65 weeks.
Yes, stand as best you can in a good place for your phone. That's an amazing thing, doing the world cruise with the Hokulea. And then one of the other canoes that came up from the South Pacific is going on that too, yes? Are you there? I think that you're breaking up, but I appreciate your call in. It is almost time for the History of Jazz with Kirk Smart. I can't.
Hello?
Barely. You're breaking up. I'm going to have to let you go with respect. Maybe you can come in next week. Can you hear me? Can you come in and be a guest in the show next week?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Can you hear?
Yes. Email me at akamaimom@gmail.com, and
okay.
We'll organize that. Thank you.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha. Bye. Jonathan, thank you so much. We're not going to be able to take more calls. It's pretty much time to go. Any final thoughts, Jonathan?
Just look in the mail for your ballots, and when you get your ballot in the mail from KIC, this should be happening probably in the next month or so. Be prepared to stand in solidarity with all your other co-op members and vote to have the vote against the unfair fee.
And why don't they just double that ballot into the is it going to come out earlier than when they're having the election?
That's a really great question. We're going to meet with KIC on the 25th of this month and trying to determine that. And maybe it will make sense to roll it into the upcoming election in March. We're gonna find out.
Yeah, I would think, especially if, you know, some of the issue is cost, put it all in the same ballot. And
sure,
there
be,
you go.
Be happy
and
to have
then,
cost
and
savings.
Then it's a cost savings, and then scratch the charge to the people. I think it's a little bit of a slap in the face. That's the problem with the charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Especially. But I do appreciate KIUC for many other things, and they do keep the power on, the lights on. There's many ways that
well,
they
the
do a good
who,
job.
Well, the people who work for KIUC are some of the hardest workingest folks on the island, and whenever the power drops in a big storm, they're out there. And so, you know, hats off to them. The crew works wonderfully. I think the problem that KIUC has sometimes is with the management and their lack of a vision for community, and that's nothing against anybody who works there.
Yeah. Well, lots of things have happened. Mahalo, Jonathan, for coming in and helping host the show with me. The History of Jazz with Kirk is just about up.